Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com live. From the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you, the Plow Predator, Iggy, and the Sea Monster, all operating the ones and twos on a radio program that will inform you and hold people accountable, really. Doug, that's kind of who we are with the success we have had in athletics. We feel like this is the place where fans go because they know we will hold people accountable. Because the rest of the media in St. Louis is so that it's embarrassing.
Right. Well, when you had the sort of athletic success we had on playing fields all across this country, you know, we get quite a bit of latitude with our criticism because of that. We were there. We played the game.
We could still be playing the game.
If we
You're
wanted to.
You're telling me you couldn't play defense for the Blues? Of course you could.
Yeah. Or any other spot.
Timmy, I know you were a fine second baseman. You could be out there for the Cardinals. We chose this business because we have a passion for AM sports talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jim.
Doug, the Blues lost last night. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not.
I was there.
But the first text I received is, please bring back Andy to do the intro.
That's the important stuff. Do we know who the gal is that's doing our intro?
I do not.
Is she local? She's
I do not know.
Would that make it more palatable if she were local?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to see us hire local.
Then just pretend she's from O'Fallon.
All right. Which
one? Jinx Coke.
Yeah. The one on the Missouri side.
Which one's nicer, you think? I mean, or less not?
Tie for first.
Really?
Both of them are great.
I have seen O'Fallon, Missouri rated as one of the better places to live in America.
Well, then I guess it sounds like you're saying polls. O'Fallon, Missouri, even though we're going to be in O'Fallon, Illinois for TMA Live, brought to you by Bud Select at Hot Shots on May 18th.
Now, why the laughter?
Because then it makes it feel light and fluffy, and that's what people want in the morning.
Okay. Now, before we get to our scalding hot takes.
Jake Allen will never be the same after I get done plagiarizing something somebody wrote about it.
Mm-hmm. He just got to pick
you
up.
You were hearing some things about it, I guess.
Right.
So you do this voice. Sheesh, Bruges hockey.
I don't know what that is.
It's
no,
kind of a Vince Scully thing.
No, it isn't. It seemed like the Albert boy who did the game last night sounded. I watched
the Albert boy. Isn't he like 50
Albert? Yes.
Which Albert is it?
Is that Kenny?
Is it Kenny? Honestly, I didn't see the stand-up. I knew it was one of the Albert, but I didn't know which one because I didn't see him. Then there are three of them out there outside of Marv.
The middle one I never see anymore.
There's Steve, Kenny.
Who's that, Billy Baldwin?
Steve Albert.
Anyway, my point being, I watched the Open on NBC Sportsnet.3.
Or other, yeah.
And, right. And it's a fine presentation, not as good as Fox Midwest. I miss Kelly and Panger. We did have the post game last night. I digress.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so I watch his Open, and I'm like, that's the voice that Tim does.
Oh, really?
Because he put like a little sort of an H in a couple of things. Shh, Bruges and Predators. And I was like, that's it. But you're not sampling him? It's just a random voice? That you
no,
did?
It's just how I set the stage.
Can
I
you
call
set
it a table setter.
Before we give our scalding hot takes and take these Blues down.
I'll set the stage for you today because I know you're looking forward to your day, and I don't even have to ask you. Cardinals and Blue Jays today, Doug, with a twin bill. It'll be fun as it's cold and cloudy in downtown St. Louis in front of 20,000 or some odd fans. A couple of teams looking to wrap it up as quickly as possible and get home or get on a flight.
That's just a really nice broadcaster's voice.
Right.
It's pretty good.
University of Missouri, sir.
Yeah, you shouldn't try to be yourself. You should try to be...
Sound like a 74-year-old.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Or there's the Yaglers who try to sound
what?
Like...
But what's that mean?
We call them Yaglers.
I never heard
the guys who try to sound like the baseball announcer.
Ooh, that's probably going to hit a little too close to home run.
Wait, there. Is that a Yagler?
That's kind of what I've heard them called, yeah. The guys that, like minor league games all across the country, were trying to sound the same like somebody they heard in the major league. Well, here's the pitch, and it's a fastball, and the count is 1-0.
That's it.
And they never
talk
like that off
traffic
here.
Or anything like that.
Well, that's good to know. I feel like
I like that term, Yagler.
I'm better for knowing that.
I do too. I've never heard the word Yagler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say this: they did bang that game early yesterday, which I'm
yes, what a treat for you.
So I got to take a little nap, and then I got to watch the Blues with my son from the couch.
Did Tyler hold Jake Allen accountable?
Tyler's not happy.
Mm.
Tyler, I will say this: he was like. Pull Jake Allen. I could have stopped that shot.
Once him out.
With the fiddler.
Once him out.
Yeah, Tyler has a Twitter egg avatar, and man, does he go after people.
I was like.
And he's followed by a bunch of bots in New Delhi.
But I did the right thing. I go, son, this is a rights holder family. We do not talk like that.
No.
They wouldn't be in this round of the playoffs if not for the play of Jake Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the Cardinals defensively are fine. That's what
well,
I told my son.
Well, they're not fine.
That's what I told my son.
Yeah. It's the guy who literally won you the first round series
right.
almost by himself. So let's not have any patience for him at all if he should make one mistake.
How would you grade the goals? Two were rough. Is that fair?
Certainly the last one was just a complete mistake. You know, he dove forward to try to poke check. If he just stood there, I think it would have been no problem at all. And you know what happens? The game moves so fast. I suppose.
Sound like a rights holder to me.
Well, you know what happens?
It happens. Playing goal is hard. He's been brilliant. I don't know how people, except for an 8-year-old kid on the couch, could be down on Jake Allen.
Shot
and, that was like an in-between. It was a defensive breakdown to put that to put Jake in that position. And do you lunge? If you watch it in slow mo, he was just trying to get his... His lower carriage down, and he
lower
just
carriage.
Got underneath his lower
Yagler
carriage.
And lower carriage. This is a big Design Air 7 o'clock hour Jackie Papers.
Yeah, well, it was an unfortunate way to lose a game.
And I'll tell you that the pressure that the Blues put on suddenly out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, because the first period, second period, they were a little sleepy. And then all of a sudden, it was like every loose puck was there. It was theirs. Every shot had a bad intention. And you could see Pekka Rinne was like, I didn't see this against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, well, he gave up a total of 3 goals in 4 games against the Blackhawks, and there the Blues were midway through the third period with 3 of their own. It was a couple of things about Kelly Chase will be with us coming up at 9:05, and that's brought to you by Petromart. Brad Lee of Game Time, the program leading into us, and of course the publisher of Game Time, he's going to be in studio here in this Design Air, 7 o'clock hour. Design Air Heating and Cooling, donating 2% of all sales from TMA to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. First off, the fact that the Blues were selling tickets for like half price a couple hours before the game is just candidly stunning.
I guess it's because people didn't know when the game was going to be played until just a couple days ago.
And the reason it did happen, for the record, is because all of the series ended before game sevens.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the NHL, understandably so, likes to set up Stanley Cup playoffs to have game sevens and a stage unto themselves. So when Ottawa beat Boston and when the Capitals beat the Leafs, that was it, and they moved it up. Otherwise, it would have been on Friday. And I would imagine it would have been a much different atmosphere to start. Secondarily, as I was watching it and as it got into the third period, I posted on the fan pin, and I was talking to my wife. She's of Italian-American descent. And I said, God, I hope this is like the Super Bowl. Because even though now, of course, seeing how things played out after the fact, you go, God, what a great Super Bowl. If you can take yourself back to the first 2.5 quarters of the Super Bowl, when it was 28-3, I bet at most Super Bowl parties, most people had stopped even paying attention. And that's what this was like. This was like boring as hell. The building was dead. The play was very lethargic. And So I posted. I go, God, I just hope out of nowhere the game flips and the game flow becomes a totally different element than what it is right now. Because as it is now, the Blues just don't even. Not only are they getting beat 3-1, but they're not even. Like, if they would have 15 seconds in Nashville zone, I'd be like, God, I got to savor this moment because it's not going to happen again for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the sudden, a few minutes into the third period, it just flips.
Every loose puck was there?
Absolutely flipped. And so then you're like, holy crap, they're going to win this game, a game that, once again, I still don't know if they've played their game in the postseason for a sustained amount of time. And by sustained, I mean more than a period. Despite the fact that they're 4-2 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, to have it end the way it ends is really disheartening. And, you know, it doesn't matter. This is sports talk radio hypothetical land. But, you know, I don't know. It's like that's almost more painful than if it would have just been this fizzle. You can say, oh, it's good to see the boys play. I mean, what else are they going to do? To have it happen that way is even more disheartening because you're going, God, that just didn't, you know, and Jay Bouwmeester, who is, you know, a target, understandably contributes, and then Allen with the misfire on the poke check, you have just a crap goal, you know, lead to Nashville stealing game one on the road. That really, really sucks.
It's hard to contain a goal scorer's goal scorer like Fidzy.
Yeah, a guy who was a last second
he didn't play in the first round.
Just the last second decision to put him in there. But I, you know, if in the early going, the narrative from the broadcast was Pekka-Rinne's ability to handle the puck is stifling the Blues' forecheck. And look at the way the defenseman from the Predators transition from defense to offense. The Blues haven't seen this. You know, can they? Well, you realize if the Blues play their game, yes, they can. Yeah. They can beat the Predators, and they just did it for too small a time frame to win.
The first two periods kind of felt to me like that first game against Minnesota, where it just looked like the opposition was just faster and that the Blues were just playing catch-up all night long. And the crowd was definitely not as intense as it had been in that Minnesota series. I went to the first two home games there, and it was loud and craziness.
But in that third, when the Blues made their run, people said it was crazy.
It got that way, especially after the second goal.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was like, we've had 3 days off and everybody take a breath. It got through the first round, but that's just a crowd. You know, that's not the players. But that, you could certainly sense it in the building that it just wasn't.
Well, I can't blame the crowd because the play was so lethargic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just blah.
And bad penalties.
And I also posted this, and then it became after the fact tweeting and bad comedy, so I got rid of the thread. But
well, you deleted your own.
I'm just like, okay, my point was I hope that this flips like the Super Bowl did. If not, I'll just sit here and continue. I was reading, I doubt anybody read this, but maybe they did. Wright Thompson, University of Missouri Journalism, did a great in-depth feature on Pat Riley. It was wonderful reading. So I'm just like, I'll have the game on. But if not, I'll just read this because this is more fascinating to me. The point is that I was hopeful that it, because again, the Super Bowl showed no signs of flipping. You know, it wasn't like the Patriots were there and they just weren't getting in. They just weren't even in the game. So that's how I felt watching this. And when I was posting, somebody else posted, a really kind gentleman, by the way, because he donated two tickets to Three Little Birds for Life. He happened to be the guy who was interacting with me. I think he posts as Kenny Edward. I hope I'm getting that right on the fan page. But anyway, nonetheless, and he goes something along the lines of, this is absurdly boring. I can't remember a playoff game this boring. And that's what I was saying. I said, at the same time, you don't remember boring playoff games. So it's somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy if you lay it out as such. But, you know, last year, for example, I mean, every one of those Blackhawks games struck me as being super intense. If anything, the Stars game that was the least intense was what wound up happening about 20 minutes into the game seven, where they just blew them off the ice. Usually playoff games have a certain intensity. And this one, especially being at home and being game one and what we thought was going to be this super intense series, yeah, you had what happened with Fiala, which was horrifying, and, you know, on a much, much, much lesser scale, a really just odd cheap shot on Tarasenko that may have led to the Blues taking some bad penalties themselves. I don't know. But other than that, it just was like blah. And I'm thinking, God, this is like if I tuned into a regular season against game against the Islanders in November. It's like, what in the hell is this? So whatever. I'll read the Pat Riley story. It's fine. And then it just...
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, usually there's a buildup to, okay, now they're starting to get some pressure. You know, here comes the forecheck that was lacking in the first, and it just boom, just out of nowhere. And then what was it? What was the difference in like minutes or seconds in between the first and second goal? It was just bang, bang. And then it's just such a buzz. It's one thing if the Predators then ratchet their game up, but for it to happen like that, it's just like.
Blues dominate, and all of a sudden one little miscue.
Yeah, you felt like, and that's the thing, even after they tied it, you're like, oh my God, they're still dominating play. They might put up a third one here in a matter of seconds.
I thought they did. And then I thought, they're going to steal back momentum even after that Fiddler goal, and they still have a chance, but it didn't happen. Anyone else find it odd? I understand that you want to have an ambulance on site, that it took that long to get another ambulance there. I mean, that was a long of guys on the ice just standing around. Did anyone else find that odd? Maybe that's...
I had never seen anything like it. I had never seen a game delayed because they only had one ambulance at a building.
I understand the safety concern, but you would think in St. Louis, where from time to time... there are people that need medical attention stat.
Well, it's
you would
hardly,
think there'd be another one real close.
Yeah, it's hardly the first time I've seen an athlete carted off on a stretcher, and the game has never been delayed by 15 or 20 minutes.
I don't know.
I could see where there always has to be one there with 20,000 people gathered in one spot. It just was hard to believe that they hadn't thought of that before, and don't always have two there.
Or they couldn't have just gotten on the radio and said, hey, we're taking this guy to the hospital. Can we get another ambulance here? We should be stocked with ambulances.
Yeah, usually with that possibility of throwing everything off like that, the league would pay to make sure that there's two ambulances there.
I just thought that was odd.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. You're welcome to get involved with your thoughts. You can call in at 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. That's the appliances counter phone number. Or you can text in. It's the exact same number, 855-282-8255, the appliances counter phone lines. It's the Design Air 7 o'clock hour here. They've been serving the St. Louis area since 1904. The number one train dealer in Missouri, Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owner-operators, and they really do care about their customers. We're finishing our basement with Elysium Restoration and Design. Doug, we support the sponsors. I don't feel like you do, but we do over in Carport Village. And Seth...
I've renegotiated my mortgage.
Why don't you refinance instead of negotiate with them?
Well, because I wanted a lower rate.
Oh, okay, I understand. But Seth said, you know what? Let me take care of you here with the basement, because otherwise it wouldn't be set up properly for the heating and cooling in the basement. So he came over and he's setting this whole thing up with Elysium Restoration Design. Doug, sponsors are working in my house together. Isn't that fun?
They've come together.
Yeah. Well, ideally, that's always the goal.
What?
It's like a jubilee.
Get Design Air out to your home now and have them take a look at your air conditioning unit. Don't wait until it gets up to 90 degrees and you find out your AC needs service. Do it now. Do it now while it's effing 49 degrees in April. Have a technician come out and make sure you are ready for another St. Louis summer. Their techs have an average of over 26 years of experience and more training with Train Systems than any other dealer in the area. It is Design Air Heating and Cooling. Why'd that get a ring?
I was reaching.
It was an inadvertent ring.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I'm waving it off. Don't get me wrong. The read was great.
That was like Subban goal with offsides that would have covered the spread for some degenerate.
And he was celebrating anyway.
Yes, he was.
Yes,
I noticed that.
He was. 314-739-1600,
314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop. Train. Get involved here on the radio program. Doug Ray King just texted. I know you like him.
I don't.
Guys, the other ambulance wasn't there. It had to take Doug's ass to the hospital because I murdered it last night. Ray King?
That's just awful.
There's a few of those, Tim. Thank you for only reading one.
Ray King, you got yourself suspended. You got yourself suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is going into the leather-bound suspension logule. It's been written down with an ink pen, courtesy of our friends at Wright Business Products.
Doug, if a fat Hoosier in the crowd has a heart attack and needs to get carted to the hospital in an ambulance, do they stop play for 20 minutes waiting for another ambulance to show up? Thanks.
That's a reasonable question. Would seem like you would always have to. If that's the rule for the building, it seems like you would almost always have to.
But why does he have to body shame some hapless guy from Potosi?
Oh, that guy's from Potosi?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't think you should do that, Doug.
Someone left a really nice pair of needle-nose pliers in the studio, and, you know, I may be picking at things here now for a while.
Yeah, that seems like that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's a really nice little tool.
Why do you think there are pliers in here, bro?
I don't know. Probably trying to fix something, but, you know, I'll have them at my disposal should we need anything.
Back to the trimming?
Should we need anything done?
That should be good for the text line.
I've already alerted the staff, but I'm aware, after it seemed like the app volume was shot and fixed yesterday, we were receiving this text, pot them up, we can't hear you, first person plural, multiple people on one account, can't hear you on the stream, 3 exclamation points, the stream also quits randomly about 4 times per hour, just so you guys know, Android, 590 app.
I'm ignoring these people, not because I don't like the great Americans of the text line, but it's out of, like, and I've discussed this internally with other people that are more involved with the streaming with the app. This is an app issue and not me. I can pot you up as, I mean, you're almost
but they're saying it's on TuneIn, and that's not our property.
You're up all the way.
Doug, do we own TuneIn? I think I own
10%. I don't own Jack Squat. Is this something I could fix with these needle nose pliers?
Because
I'll make some adjustments.
Laugh sponsored by Post.
Yeah, Post Sports Bar and Grill, the Plowhawk's Laugh. Plowhawk, you went from picking the Predator, the Blues in 5 at around 9 o'clock yesterday morning to around 8:30 announcing the Predators would sweep.
I didn't announce. I said if you play this stagnant and come out this sloppy, then you will get swept. I didn't say that was going to happen.
That was not an official prediction.
No, I said if you're going to play like this and not have the same intensity level as you did Minnesota, although in Minnesota in that series you did get a little puck.
Don't argue with yourself. Just make your point.
But I did not say they were going to get swept, but if they continue to play that way and only have about 5 or 6 minutes of good offensive possession in their zone, it's going to be an issue and they could potentially get swept.
We're getting a lot of texts that say, yes, this is all on Jake Allen.
The sound on the app?
No. The Blues not winning last night, it's on Jake Allen's shoulders because it was a key moment, and he let that puck go underneath.
Well, let's hear from Jakey about his big mistakey. Doug, here it is. Well, he talked about it, but this is him talking about how the team needs to stop taking penalties. That doesn't sound good. And I know that he talked about it because he blamed himself for the loss. But I guess we don't have... Do we have that sound? Because I only see I have one Allen bite.
He did that in like a 3-second sound bite, which wouldn't make for much of a sound bite.
That's why I didn't...
But he did. I mean, the headline of the Post-Dispatch says, Allen takes responsibility for the loss. And then Mike Yeo said it's great that he did that. But, you know, the team didn't play well. So, that's the thing. You know, when I'm sitting there watching the first two periods and the first couple minutes of the third period, it's not like I'm going, man, this is on Jake Allen. I'm going, God, what the hell's wrong with these guys? This is just, you know, it's one thing if you get beat, you're going to get beat. That's the nature of the beast. But God, it was just like they weren't even in it. And like we were just saying a few moments ago, usually, in Stanley Cup playoff hockey, you can sense the game flow shift. And then when it does, after a couple of attacks, you break through. This was just, they're not in it, they're not it. All of a sudden, it's tied. And that was what was really surprising about it. All right, here's what Mike Yeo had to say regarding the team needing to stop bad penalties, which set up the Predators, a couple of their goals.
All right, hit the lead kill.
We need to be sharper there. If it was a 5-on-5 game, if we were just playing that, then I think we were better. And they're a disciplined team, so we have to do a better job. You know, you give up a 4-on-3, you give up a 5-on-3 tonight. It's pretty tough to kill those, in succession. So, I think obviously we got to. If that's the case, that's what you're dealt with. But we got to do a better job there. You get to this time of year, and it's such a fine line that you have to be a little bit more disciplined. You have to find a way to make sure that you're not putting yourself in the box more than the other team. And that's two games in a row that we've done that.
Did you have a problem with any of the penalty calls?
Oh, I did is when they were called, and then when they'd run the replay, I'd say, well, okay, I can see that.
Yeah, because I think it's only fair that I address what I thought was a little odd. I mean, I understand people are passionate about it, but I thought the thing going on in Minnesota was so weird with fans seemingly wanting a penalty every 30 seconds and or any time the Wild would get called for a penalty, thinking that there might be a riot breaking out in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I don't believe there are a lot of riots there historically. But last night I'm like, yeah, these are kind of blatant. Yeah. And a couple of them are just bad.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like the game was poorly officiated, but there was a lot of booing in particular in the second period. I would imagine that's just really frustration with what fans were seeing, and so then it's obviously you take it out on the officials, and then ideally broadcasters who may have predicted the game would go otherwise, and you go after them on Twitter.
Nashville is a snootful. I mean, what they did to Chicago, they got people fired in Chicago. They dominated that team so badly, and that was the best team in the conference through the regular season, so I don't think you can just say, well, the Blues didn't have it. I mean, they're up against the hottest team going right now. It's going to be tough. This Nashville bunch, I'll tell you what.
They're long.
I don't say long. I would measure a snake in length, but not a human.
They run not just one or two lines at you. They run four.
Yeah. Which is something the Blues will do as well. Virtually every team in the league will run four lines at you.
There are a couple teams that only run a couple out.
I don't know of any teams that just run like two lines. That'd be a lot of ice time for some of the
Who won the Battle of the Pinch?
The Battle of the Pinch, in this case, was won by the team that pinched better.
Nice take.
And I think any of us who watched could see who the better pinchers were and just look at the scoreboard.
Right.
I really love you.
You want to see who pinches, you look at the board.
Nice take.
But that one, how long a stretch was it where everything went the Blues' way? I mean,
there was a stretch where virtually everything went the Blues' way.
I would say about 6 minutes of game time.
And roughly half a dozen
James Schwartz seemed to be out there the whole time, and no one could get near him.
He was was he on a standard five-minute shift?
I think it was a full six. I think it was his normal full six.
He really looks good. I mean, he looks like their best player here.
He looks like their best player.
Yeah, great stick handler. Yeah, he didn't do some of the pinching I would like to see, but then he's not a defenseman or a rear guard.
He could be.
He could probably be just about anything. I mean, he really looks fast, and he really looks sharp.
What about putting him in goal? Have you thought about
that? No, I'd keep Allen there. That's kind of a ridiculous suggestion, Jim.
My bad.
Guys, I pretty much listen to you guys mumble for 3 hours because I can barely hear you. When Frank comes on and then Martin and Charlie, it's at least audible. Thanks. I have the Android app, by the way.
Why don't you turn it up? Hit the volume. Turn it up. How about that? Can you hear me now?
If you can peek your head, these are all the way up. Like these.
Plus,
are all
we
the
know
way
it's
up.
Not you.
Would you like to borrow the needle nose pliers to see if there's something you could do?
There's someone that works for the Android company that's in their app department that hates TMA.
Yeah, I get that sense.
Like Frank, they like Marlo and Kilcoin. What's the name of their show? Midday Grind?
That's correct.
Midday Grind. Love them.
Is it
Hate
possible
us.
This is KMOX monkeying with our
Frank Cusimono.
It's not Cusimono. It isn't. If you're going to try to get the job as the voiceover, pronounce
it. The Morning After with Tim McCurkin.
Heaven's sakes.
The Morning After with Tim McCurkin.
Is it, you think it's just a coincidence that we are at war with another radio station and we have all these kind of gremlins coming into our
Yeah, I could see David Klein of Hedonism being involved in this. I'll say it, I guess.
How about Big Stuff over here going golfing with Raby all the time? You ever wonder if maybe our leader is a double agent?
Yeah.
Kind of like Whitey Bulger was?
Yeah.
In Black Mass?
He was an FBI informant.
Dark Mass or Black Mass?
I think it was Black Mass.
Dark Mass was that gangbang scene Keisha Gray did. That's right. That's why I get
The Morning After with Tim McCurkin.
McCurkin? Have you ever heard of a name McCurkin?
I'm sure there's some potato famine family that was known as McCurkin.
Did somebody misspell it when they said, hey, deep voice radio guy? Here's the name of the guy who runs it, but we misspelled it.
Well, we probably like bid $12 a liner, so they probably didn't take it all that seriously.
Or you think
I'm not rehearsing this for $12?
Could that have
Tim McCurkin? Take it or leave it.
It may have been KMOX's voiceover guy, and he's intentionally
fouling
our airwaves.
You're blaming Les Moonves.
I think it could be.
You know what? It does remind me of. It reminds me of back in the day at the old. Not the new 590 The Fan, where they made our T-shirts and made us all look like there was something very physically wrong with each one of us.
I do have a weird-shaped head.
So That was in a way to illustrate that maybe the station doesn't love us.
Right.
And then we have this sort of thing happen. Maybe the station, again, doesn't love us.
Yeah. So you think there's a sabotage from 7 to 10, and then
they go, first, we'll compromise the boy king, and then we'll go after the two idiots that are
the boy king, like Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
I don't doubt it one little bit. I don't.
You think that's the move, is you go after the boy king and then you take out the two idiots?
The best king. The best way to silence us is to pot down our levels. So we've lost our platform.
Guys, I don't mean to pile on the plow predator, but the McKirkin intro is louder than you guys are on the app. That's from the 618. But this isn't the plow predator's fault. It's probably no one's fault. Something just needs to be adjusted.
Maybe Jake Allen's behind
it. I mean, I know that that they were all over it yesterday, and we didn't have any complaints, so I don't know.
Where would you go to adjust something like that? Exactly where would you
go?
There's
a knob in the shrubs.
A knob?
You know what to do.
No.
You find someone that has a good set of needle-nose pliers, and you go and you monkey with the filament. You know that.
Well,
you know that.
I wouldn't even know where you'd go to start to fix that problem.
Tim, Team Wheelhouse won the Queenie Park Roller Hockey League last night. How about a shout-out? Thanks, Ray King. Doug, you want to give him a shout-out?
No, I don't, because he's been vile, intentionally vile.
Guys, does that make Plowsy Jon Snow? Thanks, Crestwood Coyote.
I don't really know what that means.
I remember Jack Snow.
Number 84.
Outstanding receiver for the Rams.
I remember MC Snow. He's still with us, even though I said he had passed.
Jon Snow is really the main character. Who would you say is the main character in Game of Thrones? Khaleesi? Khaleesi's Dragons? That would you say Khaleesi's Dragons?
I don't know. I've tried to watch it. It's so darn boring. I just keep going.
Hey. First episode, Khaleesi gets naked is the day she was born.
You're whispering so some others don't hear it?
Right. Doesn't that hurt your voice?
They don't hear us anyway.
No, I'm very talented.
You can play through it.
I can.
I try to watch Game of Thrones. I see old people standing around staring at each other in a castle. I say, I'm sorry, this is boring, and I move on to something else.
Alpina says, listen to the app every morning. Zero issues, loud and clear. Thank you, Alpina.
Well, thank you, Peensy.
Tim, can't you just buy Android and fix this? Thanks. That's from the 636. I don't know. Maybe I'll look at it today, I guess.
Or are you going to buy those new pants, though?
I know, yeah.
You don't want to over...
In the boys section. Yourself. I was going to get some Bugle Boys.
No, not the boys section, the boy king section.
Joffrey.
That was Toys R Us, wasn't it? Joffrey the giraffe?
No, Joffrey's the boy king in Game of Thrones, bro.
Oh, yeah. I
he seemed a little femmy, didn't he? Was that implied? Iggy, was that implied that he was for them? It seemed like it was. All the guys are banging guys, and all the girls are banging girls.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened back in the day.
Is that true?
Oh, for heaven's sake! You don't think maybe it's a television show?
Well, you got the Kingslayers banging his sister.
Right.
They've had three kids with the sister.
Yep.
That was going on all the time back in those days.
Really?
What, they had no morals back then?
Well,
they didn't know right from wrong.
They didn't know that you weren't. They didn't care about the kid being born with three fingers. And
I
no
don't
head.
Know about that.
It Wait a minute, you're saying that it never dawned on anyone that maybe they ought not sleep with their sister or cousin?
I don't know if they had scruples back then. They didn't care if it was...
Scruples?
They were hot and you wanted to bang them. You didn't care if it was your sister or not.
Oh, gee, many Christmas.
Wow.
Iggy, you should teach a history class.
Well, I could on Game of Thrones history.
With like my dad and my brother, and that was a lot of fun to shoot.
Yeah, and that just happened in 2016.
Yeah, that was only a year ago. It's still happening.
Guys, Tim is Caligula. Thanks. That's from Ward Cleaver. Hugh Beaumont. He's going to join us tomorrow.
He won't. He's been dead for, 40 years at least.
Well, still. Since Tim is the boy king, can I be Doug's boy queen? I do mouth stuff. That's from Doug Vaughn's Illicit East Side Lover.
You didn't have to read that one, Tim.
No, you don't have to. DV's Illicit East Side Lover has been suspended. Has been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Hey, thank you, Right Business Products. I sure do like my ink pens.
Guys, please stop saying back then. Game of Thrones is based in a world with effing dragons. Thanks. That's from Brett Cecil's. Boy, they're coming in fast today. Brett Cecil's broken English. He has broken English? He was with us for like 20 minutes.
No, yeah, he speaks fine. He did come here from Canada. So I assume that English is his second language, but he speaks it rather well.
Professor Iggy, are you taking questions?
Go ahead, Kat.
Were there dragons back then? Well, you got to go about the timepiece that the Game of Thrones is supposedly taking place in.
When is it?
You know, you go back to the Roman Empire.
And they had dragons?
They were banging their sisters. They were banging their cousins.
No, but
they
the
were
question
banging
was,
each other.
Were dragons a real thing? Because I always thought
no,
that was
no
pure
thing.
Fantasy.
There's no such thing as a dragon.
Yeah, there's Komodo dragon.
But they still...
It's not really a dragon.
Oh, Frank Komodo.
That's what it's called.
A
Komodo
lizard.
Dragon. It's not a... Yeah.
There has to be a time when this is going on. It's not a make-believe time.
But dragons...
Back when there were kings
I haven't seen it. Do they have, like,
and,
fire-breathing dragons in Game
yeah,
of Thrones?
Yeah, Khaleesi flies
so
around
this is
on them.
Not,
yeah. It's totally reasonable, Doug. I believe Cleopatra used to fly up and down the Nile. Is that true?
I don't think so. Thank God there's no flying
dragons. It's not a Komodo
dragons.
Dragon. They don't breathe. They're just big lizards. These are fire-breathing dragons that may or may not have existed.
Can you imagine the horror if,
depends
like, alligators could fly or
well,
something?
Depends. I'm trying to get the information from Professor Strode.
No,
is that,
that
real?
There's no such thing.
All right,
but
thank you, sir.
Do you really think an 80-pound woman could sit on top of a dragon and fly around without falling off?
If it had a saddle.
Maybe.
If it had a saddle.
She, was she had on, training.
She
you
was
know,
sitting
dragon.
On one of the big spikes, too. That had to hurt.
Guys, also, back in history, a woman doesn't give birth to an evil cloud. It's an effing fairy tale, Iggy. It's from the three.
No, I thought it was real. I thought all the people in there were real. I thought Jon Snow could die and then be brought back from the dead. I
oh,
that.
God, Doug, we have a spoiler alert. We have a spoiler alert.
Well, it's all right. I can't get through more than 5 minutes of the show at a time. It's so darn slow.
Go back and check ancient history. The Roman Empire, they were all banging each other.
Didn't Mae West give birth to just a hand?
Yes, that happened in 99.
Right, so you could give birth probably to an evil cloud.
Correct.
I'm sure it's happened.
Absolutely correct.
Well, I think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Well, that was wrestling, so you know it's real.
Thank you. Don't be stupid. Dragons did exist. They're just extinct now. Duh. That's from KG
so.
And OT.
I just don't think so.
Yeah, well, I've been to museums where you see dinosaurs. I haven't seen a dragon.
At first base. Let me send something to Bill for a second, then I'll be with you on that.
Bill's hole.
Sorry.
Well, Larry spent a lot of time on Bill's hole yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly. Doug, did you see this? His Facebook?
No, you know what? I missed it. You know what? I didn't see it.
He announced on both Twitter and Facebook that he would not be able to do a Blues intermission report because of Bill's hole.
What did that mean?
I mean, exactly.
In real world, not like dragon world. What did that mean to like?
I don't
normal...
know, but here, I think he elaborates here. Take a listen if you would.
All right. Hit the
I keep
button.
Getting questions about a certain person's hole, which is Bill's. So if anybody was to say anything about Bill's hole, why the fascination about Bill's hole? You're not seeing my nip. Woo! Let's go Blues. And Bill, I have a question for you. What is the matter with your five hole? Okay? That's all I need to know. What is the problem with your five hole? You don't give me an honest answer. I'm going to go ahead and block you. No, I will not take my shirt off and act like a cow guy. No, I am not talking about Bill's hole. How many times do I have to say that? Well, thank you for that clarification, Bill Otto. I'm glad Bill's holes are not Bill Otto's hole. I'm not your son, Tony Doe. No, I will not take off my shirt. I don't have a vibrator. If anybody else that listens to me on the Ryan Kelly Morning After ask me about Bill's hole, I am going to go ahead and shut down this Blues pre-show Facebook Live. Yeah. And how can John Cena be pregnant? I thought guys don't get pregnant. I still don't know what is up with Bill's hole. So anyway, one more question about Bill's hole. And I'm shutting this down after I do a couple wife meetings. And Bill's holes are not the new sponsors to quit asking about Bill's hole. I've had it with the Bill's holes comments. So I'm going to go ahead and shut this thing down.
That was it, huh?
So he was getting besieged.
It was pre-show.
And people were besieging him with comments about Bill's hole.
That's correct.
Maybe it's a good thing they can't hear us on the streaming.
Maybe it was confusing. Maybe he didn't understand. They were talking five hole. Is that
right.
possible?
Yeah, Pekka Rinne is five hole.
Right. And they used to call him Bill.
Right. Yeah. He's raised in Finland where Pekka means Bill.
Yeah.
So that was a blue. Did that get you ready for the Blues and Predators? Because it was a Blues pre-show.
That's why the crowd was down a little bit.
We had to get to that. We had a big Blues game last night. We have a twin bill for the Cardinals, and we're spending time analyzing Larry Nichols' live broadcast.
Oh, got sidetracked by Bill's holes. Hey, Brad Lee of St. Louis Game Time, which you can hear from 5 to 7 and pick up outside the Scott Trade Center tomorrow night before Game 2, joins us here in the Gateway Buick GMC studio. Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Their service department is now proud to announce they are the only, one of the only dealers in the area qualified to say they are certified elite service department. What that means for you is comfort, ease, and the quality care your vehicle deserves. With over 37 service bays, they get you in, out, and on the road. Gateway Buick GMC offers a shuttle service and online appointments going on now. For a limited time, enjoy a $25 gift certificate to try their service department out for yourself. How about that? $25 gift certificate. Bang. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or call 888-865-9419. 888-865-9419. Brad, good morning. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
What did you think last night?
Definitely a disappointing start to the game. Second period was definitely disjointed with the penalty time that the Blues were in the box. You know, there's a two-man advantage for a while. There was 4-on-4 play. I think Mike Yeo hit it on the head, the cut you played earlier, talking about 5-on-5, even strength play. I think the Blues were the better team, especially in the third period when they started to get some momentum. The rain before the game, I think the atmosphere in the first period was really dampened. You see what I did there?
Doug, you like that? I caught
rain.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a roof on the building.
It was, I mean, people were soaked to the bone. It was really bad the last 15 minutes before the game started. I was outside with my raincoat and umbrella selling the paper, and you could, I mean, there are people drenched, and it was, it really kind of put a little bit of a damper on the energy a little bit. But, you know, the Blues weren't exactly pumping it up with what they were doing with the puck, for sure. But, you know, you mentioned that third period where they tied it up and they went to commercial and everybody stood up and started making noise. They didn't play any organ music. They didn't play any canned music. And people just cheered for the whole commercial break. And you could just feel like the momentum had switched. And it's like, all right, they're just needing one more break and they're going to win this thing. Or if it gets to overtime, they're probably going to break through. And then there's the scramble for the puck, and Jake Allen dives for it, and it goes in the net. And, man, the crowd was silent after that for a good 2 or 3 minutes. So it was definitely an up and down. Tim, you mentioned that you didn't think that the Blues had played their style of game. I totally agree. You know, they really have not. That's more of a gong, I think. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
They are not pressuring Nashville as much, and they really were on their heels for a large portion of that game.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think Nashville realizes, you know, the Predators have never made it past the second round. And if you look at the teams left in the playoffs in the Western Conference, you can see, you know, we get hot here a little bit and win a couple games. You know, we could win one or two more rounds and make it further than any Predators team has ever made it. You know, same with the Blues. They look at who's left and think of the opportunity. So there might be a little bit more urgency on the Predators because they've literally never been there before. I think the response the Blues have to make tomorrow night, they have to come out and play a really good first period. If they do that, I think the series is going to be really fun and fun to watch. If they come out timid a little bit and not sharp, then it's going to be bad.
I'm sorry.
Do you feel like they have played a good game yet so far?
I think that game 5 in Minnesota where they clinched was pretty good. I know that they allowed the Wild to come back in that game, and then they had to win it in overtime. But that was, I mean, the Wild was throwing everything at the wall they could. I thought they played, you know, they scored early. They had two first-period goals. They had a 2-1 lead at the end of the first. They really did play their style of hockey and were in control. And then it was just frantic finish that, they tied it up. But then they won it in overtime. So I think that was their best game of the playoffs so far.
Yeah, I just don't feel like they've played what we saw more in the second half of the first couple of months of Yo's era, which, and I don't know who was saying it, if it was one of our guests yesterday, if I saw it on the pregame show, that some people, I think it was our guest yesterday, actually, Mike Johnson, saying that some people are like, well, maybe the Blues really just benefited from a really easy schedule at the end. So who is this team? Because you're going, okay, now it's been 6 games. And yes, I would agree. You're right. The first period in Minnesota in game 5 and the first period in St. Louis in game 3. But other than that, I feel like if this were a boxing match, you would score a lot of these either a draw or for the opposition. And certainly you would do that for the first 2 periods last night. And that just surprises me.
they've done enough to win. And you know, if it's results based and you're saying, well, they got the win, but, you know, style points, you know, the shots, the attempts, you know, even if you look at the advanced hockey stats, which I think are still kind of emerging because nobody really keeps track of who holds the puck, what the possession numbers really are. So you try to equate that by looking at Corsi, and it's all about shots attempted. And so if you're shooting the puck, that means you're possessing the puck. And so then they break it down to a percentage where, you know, if you're over 50%, you're probably going to win the game. Well, the Blues never were above 50% in the first round, and they won the first round in five games. So it's kind of defying logic. I think there are a lot of people who are watching this team saying, if you look at the numbers, they probably shouldn't be where they are, yet here they are. So if they can keep that trend going, but it the numbers, they pile up and you get a little bit bigger sample size. It really is harder to win when you don't have the puck. I think looking at the play of Vladimir Tarasenko, his line is playing really well. They had a lot of time in the Predator zone. You know, the goal by Schwartz where he just breaks him down right in front of the crease and scores the goal was awesome. And I don't know if you noticed this. His goal celebration looked a lot like PK Subban's goal celebration earlier in the game. I thought that was kind of a, hey, you want to call attention to yourself? Okay, here, I'm going to do it too. So if they can get Vladimir Tarasenko going, I think that's going to be a key going forward. If they want to advance, he's got to score some goals.
I'm not a guy that looks at faceoffs as a huge step, but Nashville dominated faceoffs, and they got shots off. I mean, it was in the first couple of periods, it was win a faceoff, get a quality scoring chance.
Mr. Carey Underwood, Mike Fisher, won 80% of the faceoffs he took last night. He dominated. They really need, you know, Stastny was, I think, at about 48. He was really close to 50%, or he was over 50%, I think. No one else was above 50. And Kyle Brodziak, I think, was below 30%. So, yeah, there really were some stretches. And even the guys who you depend on taking those defensive zone starts where you have a face-off in your own end and you really want to win that, they didn't win a lot of those.
And the other thing, the pregame analysis that I read, and we had some of it on our show, is that Nashville's defensemen do a much better job of transitioning. And for two periods, because that takes away the Blues' pressure if you're able to move the puck.
Right.
And those guys are mobile. And for two periods, it looked that way. And then in the third, it looked like they couldn't get out of their own way.
Right. Well, Subban had 3 points on the first three goals. Ryan Ellis, you know, that guy is super small. He's listed at 5'10". That's probably 5'10 with skates on. Once you get past that, you know, they've got some younger guys. Roman Josi is really good, but I didn't really notice him that much last night. I think you can play more physical with that defense and create some turnovers on the forecheck. You know, people talk about how good the fourth line has been for the Blues in the second half of the season. I thought they were pretty iffy last night. I didn't really think they created a lot of pressure.
Sobotka has really been a nice pickup, hasn't he? Talk about an end of the season steal.
Absolutely. It's just like making a trade at the deadline, which is, you know, what the Blues always say when they get a guy back from injury or a guy emerges from nowhere. His goal last night, he comes streaking down the right side. He's looking, his head is turned toward the center of the ice like he's going to make a pass, and he makes a no-look shot that finds the top corner of the net over Pekarinen's shoulder. I don't know, 10 times he does that, he scores that twice, maybe? I mean, it's such a low percentage play, but man, when he pulls it off, it looks it looks really awesome.
He didn't even have a great angle on
it. No, he had nothing to shoot at. Nothing to shoot at. He wasn't even looking at the net. He's trying to make it look like he's going to pass, and he does that. I was hoping to hear a couple hockeyisms. I know I'm putting you on the spot, Doug, but I mean,
ran that into the ground. I was going to ask you about what you thought about the poke checking, back checking, and play along the half board guy.
They could do better. The game winning goal was not a good look for Jake Allen, and that's why he was kind of falling on his sword, Game of Thrones reference, at the end, where, you know, basically taking credit for the loss. You know, that puck was in no man's land. Vernon Fiddler was there. Allen was there. You know, you could call it a 50-50 puck. Where's Alex Pietrangelo? He was kind of in front of the crease. He wasn't aggressive in coming back and clearing the crease and clearing the puck. He got caught flat-footed, so Allen had to take it upon himself to dive for it. He misses it. I mean, Fiddler just chopped at the puck.
I get it why people are mad, and I know in that situation, if he makes the save, the Blues maintain that momentum that they had, and it possibly goes in another direction. But that was a jump ball that was made possible by really a defensive breakdown. So I don't put it all on Jake.
On our morning show before you guys, Game Time AM, my partner Jeff said that that goal allowed by Jake Allen could be the turning point of the season, the series, once we get a little bit further. Because it could be where Jake Allen kind of wakes up. There was a play a couple minutes later in the last 2 minutes where there was a puck to the right side and it was kind of open. And Jake Allen emphatically dove and covered the puck. And it was his body language was like, that is mine. I'm going to go get it. And he was really demonstrative about it. So maybe it was, hey, I need to be more proactive and shut that down instead of taking a half-hearted swipe at it. Or it could be the play where you say, wow, Jake Allen's confidence was really broken on that goal, and that was the end of the series. So it could go either way.
You think in game two, some of the grocery sticks will get off their breezers and jump into the play with some gumption and buy-in?
Tim, can you translate that one? I didn't get that one.
That's Doug's way of asking if some of the boys will skate.
I hope
some of the guys on the bench.
I know they're having a team meeting this morning, and I think an optional skate. So, you know, the number one thing they have to do is figure out how to handle PK Subban, because that guy, the shot, you know, he finds space. He's really aggressive in pinching in. He's a pretty good passer.
Comes to pinching in again. Yeah. It always gets down to pinching.
It does. It does.
Pinchers are winners.
If they could find someone to kind of shadow him a little bit, and which, you know, that's not something you normally talk about, is trying to figure out a way to shut down a defenseman on the other team. But if you can find a way to limit him, then I think you have a really good chance.
We got to wrap up the 7 o'clock hour. Brad, thanks so much for coming in and sticking around, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad Lee
of St. Louis Game Time here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air, service.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Coming up, we will be joined by Kelly Chase at 9:05. He is presented by Petromart to get his perspective on game one. He kind of got, there was kind of like a little Twitter war last night. Did you see that?
No.
What do you? No.
Did you see this, Brad?
My mic's, no, I did not. The Wi-Fi at Scott Trade last night was not, it was suboptimal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Suboptimal.
I like that. I like that.
The
suboptimal.
Hell is that?
What's wrong with that? That makes all the sense in the world.
You didn't get it at all? Because I was able to get it.
In the stands, I'm not on the, I don't have a press pass, so I wasn't on the press Wi-Fi. I was on the public Wi-Fi. Oh. I was among the plebes. Sorry.
Yeah, he's always in a luxury box.
Yes, he is.
Looking down on
his own personal Wi-Fi.
Some sort of suite.
So Chase got into a little bit with a St. Louis media member on Twitter. We'll have that for you. You like that? You liked it? It seems like you liked it, Plow Predator.
I actually like that deep tee because I am unaware of this. I'm kind of interested to hear.
Oh, that was what makes me so good.
We all need help with our teeth.
Jeff Perlman, who wrote about and talked about all of the layoffs at ESPN, he's going to join us at 8:40. I'm looking forward to that discussion. And also something I think... is something that we wanted to get to in the 7 o'clock hour, but we didn't get a chance to. I know Doug did anyway. Jason Barrett just posted the welcome to the 2017 sports radio draft, and he's done a mock draft for Sports Talk.
That tells me one thing. He's got plenty of time on his hands.
He's done a mock draft for where Sports Talk radio hosts would be drafted.
Oh, Lord.
So we'll have that for you. And I know you wanted to get to it in the 7 o'clock hour, Doug, but I just ran out of time.
Yeah. Boy, we missed a chance to capture the largest audience by diving into that right away.
Right. So we'll do it in the 8 o'clock hour coming up. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After 590 The Fan, KFNS.